Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call around the world on the mighty voice of WWCR around the world. It's the transmitting Jewel of the South. We're glad to have you in here tonight, live right here in the month of November, the 11th, in the year 2007. Ladies and gentlemen, we know that we're in perilous times, and we know that simply because the Bible tells us so, and we expected it. You see, there is a mass consciousness of anticipation, especially in America, of something, of a major event that is fixing to happen. Now, why would we think like that, Pastor Buddy? Well, let me give you a little background of why that we're going to talk on this subject of martial law. If you look at some of the former high-level officials that have recently warned us that the administration is attempting to instill a dictatorship in America and will itself carry out a fake terrorist attack in order to obtain one. Why would they want to do that, pray tell? I mean, here is newsman on CNBC, Keith Olbermann, as he listed numerous instances in which the administration had caused terror alerts based on scant intelligence. Remember, the intelligence that Saddam had nuclear weapons. Scant is probably an understatement. To rally the people around the flag when the administration was suffering in the polls. Now, this shows as an initial matter that the administration will play fast and loose with the facts in order to instill fear for political purposes. More to the point, listen. Current U.S. Congressman Ron Paul stated that the government is determined to have martial law. Now, let me repeat that. Here is a man right now that is becoming day by day more popular with the average American that is beginning to listen to his message. Here is Dr. U.S. Congressman running for the president declaring that the government is determined to have martial law. And that the government is hoping to get the people fearful enough that they will accept the man on the white horse. Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, it brings us to want to look at the book of Revelations, chapter 14. Chapter 14 of the book of Revelation is known as the prophetic prophecy or key chapter to identify America. Now, not the America that was founded and based upon a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. But, ladies and gentlemen, there is now crept in unaware. The fox has really got into the hen house here. And the political system has got so corrupt and untrustworthy that the people have no respect for the present president. He's in an all-time low, his credibility, and his administration. We're deep into a war that we shouldn't have ever got into. But like I said, last Sunday night on WWRB 3.185 with Brother Randall and myself at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, every Friday night, I said that peak oil is the issue. Ladies and gentlemen, that means that we are producing millions and millions of barrels of oil, but we are consuming at this time, at this stage in history, we are consuming more oil than we're finding and producing. Now, we know that oil has done cross the $3 barrier. The average price of oil world in the nation, here in the nation, and in the world is higher. But in the United States, which has really, really enjoyed low oil prices compared to England and France and Germany and Western Europe especially. Now, that is a thing of the past. We'll no longer have, unless there is a change. Now, this change would have to be so drastic that it would have to practically clean out everything in the present government and start over. Now, that's not likely to happen. By being very honest with you, that is not going to happen, because there is a government behind the government that you see. In other words, when you go to the office of the president, there is an office behind the president's office that tells the president what to do. And you say, well, Pastor Buddy, the people elect the president and the Congress and the Senate to make our laws and to make sure that they're enforced. Well, listen to this. A prominent Republican congressman stated that the United States is close to becoming a totalitarian society, and that the Bush administration is using fear to try to ensure that this happens. Now, why would they want to do that? Well, listen to one of the heroes of the invasion of Iraq under the Bush administration, General Tommy Franks. Remember him? Well, he stated that if another terrorist attack occurs in the United States, the Constitution will likely be discarded in favor of a military form of government. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the general that led our invasion into Iraq. And he said, if another terrorist attack... Now, all we got to have, ladies and gentlemen, to get martial law imposed into the United States is for one more terrorist attack strategically placed where that there could be a loss of life to stir up the people to accept. Now, let me give you some background about this, and this has been going on for quite some time. Around the United States, particularly in little towns, all of a sudden, without warning, without invitation, the U.S. military appears into these cities and starts holding roadblocks. Yes, happening for the last 5 or 6 years, this has been happening. Now, if you go into the airports, and I'm sure that some of you have been in these public airports, bus stations, or train stations around the country, everywhere you go, you see what we call an armed camp. We are now talking about Homeland. Does that ring a bell? Back in Germany, the homeland, the fatherland, this title and these adjectives were used to encourage the people to protect the homeland. Now, there is some of our attorney general, one that I think it was the second one that was in power when this came out, was for the people to spy on their neighbor. And if they saw anything suspicious, and see, ladies and gentlemen, trust and mistrust is being weighed in the balance, with mistrust coming up in favor of, because when people fear, they begin to imagine things, whether it's true or not, because they operate under the fear rather than intelligence. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Daniel Ellsberg, the famous Pentagon Papers whistleblower, said, if there is another terror attack, I believe the president will get what he wants. What does the president want? Mr. Ellsberg went on to say that that would include a dictatorship. Oh, my. Terror? On U.S. citizens by the American government? No. Not a chance. No way. They could not orchestrate and pull this off in 1,000 years, could they? I mean, look at 9-1-1. That was the act of terrorists, particularly from the Middle East, these Arabs, Al-Qaeda, and the agents that work for this evil, wicked system in the Middle East that is sworn to destroy the great Satanist, the United States. And all of a sudden, we have the flags waving. But would the government actually kill its own people to instill sufficient fear so that it could get what it wants? Well, I want you to listen as I read the following from people who are in line and in positions for intelligence, and then you can judge for yourself. A retired 27-year CIA analyst who prepared and presented presidential daily briefs and served as a high-level analyst for several presidents, stated, if there was another major attack in the U.S., it would lead to martial law. And then he went on to say, we have to be careful. If somebody does this kind of provocation, big violent explosions of some kind, we have to not take the word of the masters in Washington that there is some terrorist event, because it would be well be a provocation allowing them, or seemingly to allow them, to get what they want. Now, here's an analyst that's preparing daily briefs for a president, and he's saying that if this was to happen, it would get what they want. Are people so desperate to stay in power? Or is this the agenda that was made up and enacted behind closed doors and now being carried out by the present governments around the world? It's not only in the United States, ladies and gentlemen. We have Great Britain. We have Germany. The Western nations particularly are worried about the terrorist attacks. And some of these, ladies and gentlemen, never get to be, even if they have them. 9-1-1 was not investigated by an independent panel the evidence of the World Trade Tower centers. No one was allowed into it except government employees. Matter of fact, the same government contractors that cleaned up everything in New Orleans also did the work for the New York World Trade Tower centers. Now, what's going on here, Pastor Buddy? Well, shouldn't we be allowed to examine the evidence for ourselves as to who did it? And yet we just had to take somebody's word for it that it was those who flew the planes. We saw them going into the building, right? And yet some of the experts that have made up independent panels, not sanctioned by the government, by the way, but by people that care for our country, they said that the building pancaked down in a series of internal explosions as opposed to the plane bringing it down. And ladies and gentlemen, did you know right today that underneath where they cleaned up the mess under the towers, that there is still molten metal, still a hot spot, even today as we speak? What type of explosives? And some of the experts are on record. All you've got to do is to look at the information, and you will have many more questions about 911 than you'll know what to do with. And these are from men with knowledge. The former CIA analyst would not put it past the government to play fast and loose with terror alerts and warnings and even events themselves in order to rally people behind the flag. The former Secretary of Treasury in the Reagan administration, called the father of Reaganomics, who is a former editor and columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Business Week, and Scripps Howard News Service, said, ask yourself, would a government that has lied to us in two wars and is working to lie to us in an attack on Iran shrink from staging terrorist attacks in order to remove opposition to its agenda? Oh, my. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the former Assistant Secretary of Treasury. What's going on here? Well, you say, it's all politically motivated and they're against our nation. Well, really? I mean, are we actually planning on going into Iran, or are we planning on attacking Iran? Well, ladies and gentlemen, just as soon as we got into Iraq, we got our foot in the door, and no sooner did we get our foot in the door, and we killed Saddam, supposedly. His own wife said that wasn't him that they hung, if anybody was hung, that he had a double that looked amazing. She said it wasn't him. I don't know. I wasn't there. I've never met the guy. But a lot of people believe that as soon as they went into cover-up, that Saddam didn't have weapons of mass destruction as the intelligence had said that they did have. Now we've got the same people using the same type of intelligence. I don't know of any intelligence changes other than the head of the CIA and perhaps maybe the FBI, and that's just positional changes. The system stays the same. And they blamed it with faulty CIA and FBI intelligence, and therefore they said we need to combine the two agencies and put one czar over the whole thing. And bless the times, because we now have Homeland Security with FEMA, and it oversees under the umbrella of intelligence. We now have Homeland Security and a czar to keep us informed, like they did in Cortina down in New Orleans. Ladies and gentlemen, Listen to this. If, now this is just if, we're not accusing the Bush administration of doing this. This is just some expert opinions that we're giving you this. I'm sure that Mr. Bush and the administration wouldn't think about doing this, and they've been falsely accused. The Bush administration wants to continue its wars in the Middle East and to entrench the unitary executive at home. It would have to conduct some false flag operations that will both frighten and anger, remember 9-1-1, the American people, and make them accept Bush's declaration of national emergency and the return of the draft. The administration could then simply allow any real terrorist plot to proceed without any hindrance. A series of staged or permitted attacks would be spun by the captive media as a vindication of the neoconservatives of the Islamophobic policy, and the intention of which is to destroy all Middle Eastern governments. Now, why would we want to do that, ladies and gentlemen? Why all of a sudden is the Middle East the focus of the wrath of the greatest power militarily on the earth? Why are we going to the Middle East in large flotations of armaments? Ladies and gentlemen, you just don't know what's being shipped into the Middle East, even as I speak. Navy ships. And the Bible, all it prophesies that the ships will come from afar to take us full. Soldiers will come from afar to take us full. It's all about oil, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps the United States, to maintain its leadership in the free world, maybe we need the oil. I do know that there is an attempt to hide the reserves of the United States, especially in the northern slopes of Alaska, where, and also in the place where we had the fiasco in New Orleans, right off there in the Gulf, there is reported to be as much oil there as there is in all the Middle East. And yet we're not uncapping any wells. We're not coming up with any more reserves. We're using more than we find. Is there a reason? Is it militarily? Do we have all the information here? Is the Bush administration really doing this in interest of national security to go into these countries that are oil rich, and for whatever reason that they can drum up in the era of peak oil to take a spoil? And like I said, if you take the English word spoil and strike the first two letters, you've got the reason that we're in the Middle East. And ladies and gentlemen, just recently, the former head, one of the most powerful men in the last 50 years to come on the scene, Mr. Greenspan, said that the invasion in Iraq and the threatening, saber-rattling about Iran, it's all about oil, he said. It's all about oil. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about oil. Now, whether we don't have all the facts here, as we criticize, and we have a right to do so, up until they declare martial law, and then you have no more right. Your rights are suspended. We can no longer criticize our government or the people in the government. And is this what it's all about? Listen to this now. Think about it. A series of staged or permitted attacks would be spun by the captive media as a vindication of these people that do this. And the success would give the U.S. control over oil, but the main purpose is to eliminate any resistance to Israel's complete takeover of Palestine to form a greater Israel. What? Are we there? Is Mr. John Hagee, the Prince of Israel, and his glorification, are they getting ready to rebuild the temple, as he says? You know, he's got a book out, ladies and gentlemen, about the coming war in the Middle East. Does he know something? He's now the right-hand man or the spiritual counselor to our administration. He took the mantle from Mr. Billy Graham, and he advocates war in the Middle East to preserve Israel. Think about it. If another 9/11 type security failure were not in the works, why would Homeland Security's czar, Chertoff, go to the trouble of convincing the Chicago Tribune that Americans have become complacent about terrorist threats and that he has a gut feeling that America will soon be hit hard? Ladies and gentlemen, they're talking the talk. And if the mindset of our officials, do they have good intelligence this time? Do we have reason to suspect that the terrorist will hit hard? Do you have that gut feeling that something's going to happen? Ladies and gentlemen, well, just one major event, and it doesn't have to be all that major, to really impose martial law. And I'm predicting that it's coming soon to a neighborhood near you. We've been conditioned for this for the last 10 years. A member of the British Parliament stated that there is a very real danger that the American government will stage a false flag terror attack in order to justify war against Iran and to gain complete control domestically. Now, what are we doing in Iraq? Did you know that it's been proven, ladies and gentlemen, that automobiles that have blown up in some of the activities, and they blame it on the Shiites or one faction of the Arabs fighting another faction, but it's been proven that some of these automobiles have been found to be stolen in the United States and shipped to Iraq and used by people dressed up as Arabs, and they actually weren't. Now, I can't prove that, but it is a form of information that has now been posted on your internet sites with information supplied by some people that would want us to know what's going on. Are we purposely stirring up trouble in foreign countries to justify the continuation of unrest and violence in this nation as we pump out the oil? You do believe we're pumping out the oil, don't you? Why is it, ladies and gentlemen, that the average Iraqian cannot fill up his tank except on special days? If he don't have the petrol, he don't go. And if he does go, he has to take a chance on going through these roadblocks or facing danger, imminent danger. Ladies and gentlemen, thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people have been maimed and injured and killed as a result of the violence in Iraq. None of that happened before we went in, but it's happening now and will continue to happen until all of the oil fields have dried up. Then we'll have no more use for that country. It's all about oil. A former UN weapons inspector, listen to this now, an American, who stated before that the Iraq war started that there were no weapons of mass destruction. Remember him, ladies and gentlemen? Is now saying that he would not rule out a staged government terror by the U.S. government. Oh, my. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it happened in Germany. We know history tells us that the Third Reich faked some terrorist attacks in their country, developed homeland security, and got the people to wave in their Nazi flags. And away we go with the Third Reich and the fatherland and homeland. Here in America, are we following suit? Are we really that afraid of some camel jockey in the Middle East coming over here and actually blowing us up? Well, an alleged leak of a GOP memo touts that a new terror attack as a way to reverse the party's decline. Listen to that. An alleged, now this is an alleged leaked GOP memo. It would really serve the GOP right now, which their popularity, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, they've been in power for quite a while. But a false flag terror attack, that is state-sponsored terrorism blamed on the bad guys of choice, is an age-old trick which has been used by governments around the world for thousands of years to consolidate power and create support from their people. Now, if you want to go online, you can look at the German fiasco of World War II leading up to rallying the people around the Nazi flag. Well, here we are. Recent events provide a glimpse into the world of false flag terror to bring in martial law. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've already been conditioned to accept it. We're used to seeing the military-style men dressed in black, armed to the teeth. We're used to seeing the UN helmets in places in our country and parks. There is reports that now there has just been awarded a large contract to Halliburton to increase the FEMA-style concentration camps. And, of course, this is to arrest people that are bent on destroying the United States. But how many do they need? They've already got enough for millions. Sounds like some of their own citizens could be in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. On October the 12th, in the year 2005, Australia's largest newspaper quoted the well-respected former Indonesian president as saying that the government had a role in the bombings in his country. And Americans dressed as Arabs, as I've already said, have apparently been setting off car bombs in Iraq. Apparently, when it was discovered that some of these cars were used in the Iraqi bombings, recently came from the U.S., and the cover story became American cars were involved in car bombings. It was actually made the press, ladies and gentlemen, because they had recently been stolen from the U.S. and shipped to Iraq. But does it make sense that Iraqi insurgents would steal cars in the U.S. and ship them all the way to Iraq just to blow them up, to cause insurrection in that country? Well, maybe. Britain's false flag attacks in Basra made the news in September, and the press has acknowledged that the death of the lead investigator into the Basra incident was mysterious, to say the least. Now, the lead investigator was killed. Oh, ladies and gentlemen. History proves that the officials' warnings of a terror attack by our own government are well-founded. And so then, we must take notice, ladies and gentlemen, that before long, we're going to have a time of trouble, and it could be in your streets, Chumra. We're going to pause for station identification. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We'll be right back just as soon. As we play you this little song called Fly Boy.
Or just a white boy sitting alone. Got no internet, no telephone. Well, I'm a hurting by choice, you see. And Babylon, it don't bother me no more. Well, I'm a white boy, can't you see? Well, I've become the minority. Come out, my people, is what I hear. Come out the people, cause judgment's near for me. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, that song was written with one of my good friends in the great state of Texas. Thought we'd pray it for you tonight. Did you know that the white man? Oh, we got Shady Creek coming in here. Slow it down, Mr. Odell and the Shady Creek Band. We're going to be going off with them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me show you something right here. Did you know that the world population that is growing so fast, and yet the Aryan race is dwindling? Is that by design, or is it the lack of white men being able to produce babies? Well, we got a dilemma. We're now less than 10% of the world's population. And so then the dilemma is that the enemy that is seeking to destroy, and that's what his objective is to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, we want to talk to you a little bit about the militarized police state preparation. Ron Paul, again, the gentleman I mentioned that is now running for the president, the office of president of the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, I would recommend this type of man that would really turn our nation around. And did you know that his popularity is growing? But ladies and gentlemen, if he's not anointed by the New World Order, Mr. Ron Paul will never make it to the chair to sit as President of the United States. He's accused the Bush administration of attempting to set in motion a militarized police state in America by enacting gun confiscation, martial law provisions in the event of an avian flu pandemic. Paul also slammed as delusional and dangerous plans to invade Iran, Syria, North Korea, and or China. Paul represents the 14th Congressional District of Texas. He also serves on the House of Representatives Financial Services Committee and the International Relations Committee. Mr. Paul just appeared on the Alex Jones Show and raised some interesting points about the possibility of imminent indictments of top Bush administration figures. This is, I quote him, "I think that there's a lot more excitement coming, and it's not going to be good for the Republicans," stated Paul. "The things that I hear have to do with Karl Rove and Abramoff, and that's much worse than anybody would believe, and it involves Mr. Tom DeLay as well. And that type of indictment will be much more serious than the indictment of shifting campaign funds around. There's some political infighting that could make this really interesting," end of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, what's going on here?
Is it just political rhetoric and campaigning and, you know, all's fair in war and politics, as they say? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've got both going on right now. We're in a war up to our necks. I prophesied when Mr. George Sr. Bush gathered the forces, the coalition forces, and declared a new world order, remember, in 93 invasion, when they went in to combat Iraq and Kuwait. Ladies and gentlemen, from that time forth, the agenda was set that we would eventually go in and take the nation of Iraq so that we would be next door to the domino effect here for oil. And ladies and gentlemen, whether it's for national security, I don't know. I don't have that information. I'd like to think it is. I'd like to think our government is honest and above board, and they're doing things that seems suspicious, and yet it looks like that this indictment that our own congressmen are making against the administration. You see, ladies and gentlemen, on the subject of the police state, Mr. Paul went on to state, if we don't change our ways, we will go the way of Rome. And I see as this is rather sad. The worst things that can happen when you get the so-called Republican conservatives in charge from Nixon on down, big government forces with corporations under the Republicans. It's really hard to believe it's happening right in front of us. And whether it's the torture or the process of denying the habeas corpus to be an American citizen, I think that the arrogance of power that they have, where they themselves are like the communist in the sense that they decide what is right. The Communist Party said that they decided what was right or what is wrong. It wasn't a higher source than they. Paul responded to President Bush's announcement last week that he would order the use of military assets to police America in the event of an avian flu outbreak. Now, let me repeat that. Paul responded to President Bush's announcement saying that he would order use of military assets to police America. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we have a flu outbreak, what do we need the military for? We've got the largest police force in the world. We also have the largest prison force in the world. Oh, my. To me, it's so strange that the president can make these proposals, and it's even plausible when he talks about martial law dealing with some epidemic that might come later on and have enforced quarantines, doing away with the posse comitatus in order to deal with natural disasters, and hardly anybody says anything because people must be scared to death. Here's a congressman, ladies and gentlemen. You say, well, he's just running for president and he has a right to say all these things. Well, listen to this. Paul himself is a medical doctor, and he agreed that the bird flu threat was empty fear-mongering. I believe it is the president hyping this along with those who are encouraging him at his side. But it has to be in combination with the people being fearful enough that they will accept the man on the white horse. My first reaction, going from my political and medical background, is that it's way overly hyped, and to think that they have gone this far with it without a single case in the whole country, and they're willing to change the law and turn it into a military state by voiding posse comitatus, which states that no military force will be used on the people of the United States without the approval of both the Congress and the Senate. That's what posse comitatus is all about. And they have struck it down, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Bush has the power right now. It's unbelievable that they're determined to have martial law, Mr. Paul goes on to say. Now here, ladies and gentlemen, this is just Mr. Ron Paul's opinion that serves in our Congress, represents a district in Texas. He says, these martial law provisions now being promoted by the Bush administration were a direct response to people's unwillingness to relinquish their firearms, as was seen in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. Relinquish their firearms? What do they want with our firearms? Oh, my. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Paul goes on to say, I think they're concerned about the remnant. The remnant of those individuals who don't buy into stuff and think that they should take care of themselves on their own and that they should have their own guns and their own provisions and they don't want to depend on the government at all. And I think that that is a threat to those who want to hold power. They don't want any resistance to their rule, the authoritarian rule that they have employed, ladies and gentlemen, and Paul's opinion that the government was on a delusional power trip that threatened the very existence of our country and could turn out to be, as he states, a return to the disastrous road of Rome. Those guys that are delusional, he says, on a power trip, they are ready to start a war with Iran, with Syria. Ladies and gentlemen, we just bombed Syria and supposedly took out a nuclear plant. I don't know where it was or not. But to start a war with Iran and Syria, they can't possibly do that. It's insane, Mr. Paul goes on to say. We don't have the money. We don't have the troops. And we probably don't even have the ammunition. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, in Iraq, that people donated flak jackets and body armor? And that they sent money to the soldiers in Iraq to put heavier armor on their vehicles to save their life because the administration who sent them there to die with blood in the sand, as I recorded in the first invasion, and I said that there would be a lot of bloodshed in the sand. And ladies and gentlemen, was that ever prophetic? Well, right now I am saying that martial law is just one tick away. These guys are ready to start a war with Iran. It's all about oil, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about the expansion ideals of a little nation in the Middle East who claims to be God's chosen people. The world is in for a drastic surprise. But these are truly delusional, Paul goes on to say. They just might do something that's totally irrational. Paul expressed his hope that finally some conservatives in the country are waking up to the fact that the administration is a Trojan horse, especially after arch-liberal Harriet Myers was chosen by Bush to supposedly move to the Supreme Court to the right, even though her record is atrocious, and she has been involved in the past of covering up for the activities of the present administration, whatever activities they've had, ladies and gentlemen. But don't you think that the question that was asked in the halls a Pilot, when Pilate asked the question, he was the head of the Roman Empire, that Mr. Ron Paul said that we are on a collision course with history, and if we don't mend our ways, we will go the way of Rome. You know what happened to that, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? Wasn't it the old saying that Caesar was fiddling while Rome burned? Well, ladies and gentlemen, are we going to stand by and let our country be destroyed by a false flag attack that will bring our nation to its knees? We've already lost respect. Hal Burton is one of the most mistrusted operations for the government. It is a civilian arm wing of the government, ladies and gentlemen. They get all the major contracts to do the things that they do, and that just happens to be a company that Mr. Cheney was head of before he came back in to the government to willingly serve and give his time for the service of our country. Don't worry, ladies and gentlemen. There is a man that sits in the heavens, in the prophetic vision of America in Revelations chapter 14. It was a lamb that came into power, America, that began to speak with a voice of a beast. I want you to know that we are in troubled times. So if martial law is declared, what would you think would be the reason? Is it because we're going to have a flu outbreak and we need the military to watch over us? Should we surrender our guns because we've got the flu? Or should we take two aspirins and call the doctor in the morning? That doctor, ladies and gentlemen, sits in the heavens, and we need to call on him right now. Without the aspirin, we need to take the cure, and that's on our knees where we become taller than trees. You're listening to the Shepherd's Calling, Pastor Buddy, and we're glad to be with you tonight around the world. Remember, I'll be on with the Scott, Brother Randall, on WWRB on 3.185 on the transmitting sources of WWRB, where Brother Randall and myself will be doing an hour show on Friday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to tune in. Also, we'll be back next Sunday night on WWCR 5070 in our regular time schedule of every Sunday night. And call a friend and tell them to listen in, ladies and gentlemen. We're in for some very exciting times. We're in for some perilous times. Do you have food? Do you have land? Do you have preparation? And as we speak about land, I'd like to remind you that we're looking for a gathering place, a place where we can grow organic food, have our own seeds without the GMO effects, and where we can come together and work as a team, where we can prepare for the last days, and we can have peace and honor and joy and worship our Creator and serve our country. I was a veteran, and I would gladly give my life for America. I don't know a better country in the world, ladies and gentlemen, but evil men with evil intentions are always trying to take advantage over good people. It's time for good people, as Mr. Paul said, to rise up and to begin to speak with a voice and to be heard, and our nation return to the old path and seek the Father. Write me tonight. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now that's Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Now again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, I'm live, and that would be at Area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. And if you have any land or any monies, preferably silver or gold, to contribute, and you'd like to join with Pastor Buddy and other brothers and sisters around the country to find just a gathering place. We don't need to live there, but if we could live in a close proximity, that would be great, to where that we can bind together, because it's better if two agree to walk together. If one falls, the other can help him up, and that's what we're looking for. And let's pray for our country. I call on everybody around the world tonight on WWCR that loves freedom and that loves peace and loves our Creator. Remember, the Bible said that the second commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the Bible says the first commandment is to hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. Love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the whole duty of man. If you do that, remember, let us fear Yahweh and keep His commandments. Let's keep this nation strong. Let's stand up for America. Let's stand up for men like Ron Paul around the country that's speaking out. Ron, among others. Let us become the majority. Let us no longer sit silently by and stick our head in the sand. Let's take our country back, one representative and one congressman and one senator at a time. Let's put honorable men in positions that love our country and love our people. And let's get rid of the evil and the strangers. Let's bring our borders and secure them to keep out the things that are coming in that are not wanted and not needed here in America. Let's pray for our country to strengthen and let Yahweh become the head once again rather than the tail. Let's put prayer back in our schools. Let's make the Bible the norm rather than the excluded exception. Let's put men back on stage that can put their hand over their chest and swear by the great flag, the Constitution, and can say the Pledge of Allegiance and still get elected. Did you know that these men that won't even put their, that's running for president, that won't even put their hand over their chest and acknowledge the Pledge of Allegiance? And this individual is very popular. It's a shame that we've drifted this far. And people are so destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Well, ladies and gentlemen, call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. Give me a radio check. Praise Yahweh on WWCR around the world on the mighty transmitting jewel of the South. I've got to get out of here and let Brother Odell and Shady Creek bring it on to you, ladies and gentlemen.